Like many great soul singers, Curtis Mayfield started off singing gospel music. He later came to define the Chicago soul sound through his singing, songwriting, and producing. In the 60s, with his group The Impressions, he had such hits as Gypsy Woman, People Get Ready, I'm So Proud, We're a Winner, and It's All Right. In the 70s, he did the soundtrack for Superfly. In 1990, he wrote some of the music for the sequel, The Return of Superfly. Later that year, he was the victim of a freak stage accident. He was performing at an outdoor concert before an audience of about 10,000 people in Brooklyn, New York, when a lighting scaffold was blown over by a gust of wind and fell on Mayfield, breaking his neck, leaving him paralyzed from the neck down. His health continued to deteriorate, and he died in late 1999. I spoke with him in 1993. I know that when you were growing up, your grandmother had a church, the Traveling Soul Spiritualist Church. Did you hear her preach a lot?
Oh, yes. Reverend A.B. Mayfield, Annabelle Mayfield. And, of course, I heard her preach a lot. And I probably, even in my sleep, subconsciously observed a whole lot of her sermons. And I believe through herself and my mother, who was quite fond of all types of music and poems and things of that sort. She used to read to me a lot of the old Paul Laurence Dunbar writings and lyrics, and I was quite acquainted with the limericks and Dr. Seuss of the old years. And and of course, I identified with her teaching me a few things on the piano as a youngster. So through these two ladies, I believe over the years I've carried out not only my ambitions but theirs as well.
Now, did you sing in her church?
Yes, I did. As I became older, around 7, 8 years old, I became acquainted with my cousins, who was a part of the church, and they started a group known as the Northern Jubilees. And I believe this is what sort of laid out my fundamentals as to harmonies, because I can recall years ago playing and my watching this black and white specialty record, which was 78 RPMs then, and listening to such artists as Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers, the Five Blind Boys, and of course you'd have to wind up this Victrola that we had and insert needles every so many records to keep, you know, to keep it going proper. And this is how I got started, I believe, with my harmonies.
What part did you sing in the group?
I was always a tenor.
When you started playing guitar and started writing songs, were they secular songs or gospel songs?
They were what I would think pop songs, you know. While I have written a few gospel songs, what would be looked upon as gospel, I call them more inspirational. Such songs as People Get Ready and Keep On Pushing. Keep On Pushing actually was written as a gospel song. However, I found that all I need do was change one lyric or one word, and it was pop for us.
What, the word was God that you would change?
That's right. Instead of God gave me my strength, I said I've got my strength. And it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
Why don't we play The Impressions, People Get Ready? And maybe before we hear it, you could tell us about how you wrote the song, when you wrote it, what was going through your mind then.
Well, I can't really recall when I wrote this particular song, but this is a perfect example of what I believe has laid in my subconscious as to the preachings of my grandmother and most ministers when they reflect from the Bible. You know, people get ready, there's a train coming, there's no hiding place, you don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Why don't we hear it? This is Curtis Mayfield and The Impressions.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Need is faith to hear the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among those loved the most.
Curtis Mayfield is joining us from his home in Georgia. You became the lead singer of The Impressions after Jerry Butler left. And the first hit that you had with you as lead singer was Gypsy Woman. This was, I think, 1961. So you wrote the song, you sang lead. It's a great record. It's funny, the lyric is about something that I'm sure you had absolutely no firsthand knowledge of. You know, a gypsy woman who, you know, all through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men. I mean, did you know any gypsy women when you wrote this?
No. And that's absolutely true. But I saw lots of Western movies.
Oh, right. I'm sure I saw the same ones.
Yes. And it's funny, 20, 25 years later, I'm in Germany and I'm performing in concert and I'm hearing people, you know, calling for Gypsy Woman, which was in the repertoire, but I hadn't come to it yet. And after the show, I had an interview such as what we're doing now. And the interviewer spoke in terms of there being lots of gypsies in the place, which was out of the ordinary. Gypsies never came to concerts. And of course, they asked me about it, and I had no idea, other than maybe the song. They liked the song. Well, after the interview, across the street, I'd been invited to a restaurant where there was about 50 to 75 gypsies, all the men sitting in a circle and their women in the middle. And when I walked in the place, they gave me a standing ovation, great applause. And one of the gentlemen came up to shake my hand, and they say, "Curtis, we've been waiting for you for 20 years.
You said before that singing in the gospel group helped you understand harmonies and that you use some of those harmonies with The Impressions. Let me play a record that I just particularly love the harmonies on. And this is I'm So Proud. It's really such a beautiful ballad. How would you work out the harmonies for one of the records? Maybe you could talk specifically about working out the harmonies on this one.
Well, a song like I'm So Proud, there was nothing to work out. As soon as I would say prettier than all the world, through my melody, would automatically come the harmonies of Fred and Sam. There was nothing to work out. It was easy as apple pie.
Let's hear I'm So Proud.
Prettier than all the world, and I'm so proud,
I'm so proud,
I'm so proud of you. You're only one fellow's girl, and I'm so proud,
I'm so proud,
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of being loved.
And it would hurt, hurt to know if you ever were untrue. Sweeter than the taste of a cherry, so sweet. And I'm so proud, girl.
I'm so proud.
I'm so proud of you. Compliments to you from all the people we meet. Yes, and I'm so proud.
I'm so proud.
Believe me, I love you too. I'm so proud of being loved by you.
Curtis Mayfield is my guest. Let me skip ahead to Superfly, the songs that you wrote for the film of that name. It's really such a great score, you know, such a great set of songs. How did you get the assignment to write the songs for the movie?
Well, a gentleman by the name of Philip Fentley in New York came to the Lincoln Center where I was appearing. Between shows, I met him and Sig Shore, who was to become the producer. Philip wrote the screenplay, and they were very hot about, especially Philip, who was from 125th Street, New York City. He wanted me to write the music for Superfly.
Let me ask you about one of the songs I particularly like from Superfly, and that's Freddy's Dead, which I think became one of the most popular songs from the movie. I mean, one of the really good things about it is that the way this song tells a whole story.
Well,
do you want to talk about writing
it?
Well, most
of my lyrics in song, if you listen closely, will not only give you a lyrical balance, but also give you a visual balance. And I think that's probably what was appreciated through Freddy's Dead, is that you could also see it visually, and it spoke of a young man who was a decent guy overall, but was dealing with the wrong crowd, in with the wrong crowd, and his doings were of of the lowest caliber, dealing with drugs, and his old lady wasn't helping him any either.
Freddy's dead. That's what I said. Let the man rap a plan, said he'd send him home. But his hope wasn't rope, and he should have known. It's hard to understand. There was love in this man. I'm sure all would agree that his misery was this woman and things. Now Freddy's dead. That's what I say.
Our interview with Curtis Mayfield was recorded in 1993, 6 years before his death. This is Fresh Air.